Farm goddess, agricultural princess, queen of all that moves. Nah, let's stick with farm babe. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Hey, yeah, greetings on a Friday morning. Welcome in, everybody. I am the fabulous farm babe, Pam Jahnke. Thank you so much to all of you that tried to win those Midwest Horse Fair tickets from me yesterday. I'm going to give you another chance to pick up a four-pack of tickets for that big event coming up next weekend at the Alliant Energy Center grounds. All you have to do is stick around. Weather-wise, I'll tell you what, the winds are going to stick around. If you're in the La Crosse area, most of the weather is already behind you. You might actually see sunshine today with daytime highs touching out probably almost 60 degrees. The Madison area, the rain is going to dissipate a little bit later this morning, and then the wind are what you're going to notice. Partly cloudy skies in the Madison area around 56 with winds gusting up to 20 miles an hour. For folks that are along the lakeshore, hang on. Winds will dominate your Friday, gusting up to 40 miles an hour. So we'll be talking more about the weather details with Stu Muck in hopefully about 15 minutes. I'm hoping he's got his voice back today. The good news is all of us will greet sunshine on Saturday. Really beautiful temperatures Saturday and Sunday. I smell the grill cookouts already. Looks like daytime highs both days probably touching out around 70 degrees. Talking about what's going on with bison production in Wisconsin this morning, and also focused in on some of the business that got transacted down at the state capitol. So many details all on the way for you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
There's no better way to get a first-hand look at the water levels of the Mississippi River and the impacts on shipments than the pilot house of a river towboat. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And Jimmy Cheatham, barge captain on the Western Rivers, says they're doing an excellent job at moving freight right now. However, despite this and the recent snowfall that we've had, he's still cautious about the future of water levels.
I was able to go up into Dubuque at meetings pre-Christmas and it was extremely warm. You know, we had such warm weather and early, then we had that bite of winter, then we had an early thaw, and there's no more snow to melt off and bring down, which is kind of a scary thing for us right now, especially here in the Midwest with us being below record on rainfall right now.
So what impact has that had then on the movement of commodities? Is freight traffic back to normal, or what do you even consider normal? Is it backed up? How is that going?
Right now, we are doing an excellent job at moving what we have to move. This is usually our slower time of the year, and the Upper Mississippi is just recently opened. If it wasn't for lock and dam repairs, we could have probably ran most of the winter up there. Surprisingly, this year, very little to no ice. River stages are a little above average right now. We've had quite a bit of rain in the last few days, but that's expected to fall out pretty quick.
We're getting ready for our spring planting coming up, but how much of the past crop is still being moved?
Well, depending on the markets, and I haven't paid a whole lot of attention in the last couple of months to the markets, I think it looked like to me corn movement was down a little bit. China kind of backed out on some contracts. We are not backlogged right now. If anything, we're starting to move fertilizer and ag products for the farms north right now. In fact, we've got boats going all the way that have been in St. Paul and turned out in the last 2 weeks, so that's pretty early for this time of year.
So you mentioned a few of those products. What products are you hauling? Are you seeing more of a demand for certain ones than others?
We was moving a lot of the corn and soybeans off the Ohio River. Of course, that's a normal winter run. Illinois River was moving quite a bit of product out earlier this winter, a lot of corn. Right now, things are kind of turning around for northbound freight, and we're bringing up a lot of fertilizers and farm-related products to get the crops back in the field, like potash and lime, and there's a great number of things being moved right now that's even loaded and moved into the United States. A lot of our imported fertilizers are being moved up and getting ready to gear up for hopefully a busting season this year.
We rely on the Mississippi River. Is there anything happening at key ports or even disputes that are affecting transportation of goods is potentially going to happen that you're just keeping an eye on?
Nothing that's on the radar right now. Of course, we've already started watching for trouble areas on the rivers to try to pre-identify when the river starts falling out. From Baton Rouge to New Orleans, they're always down there sounding, dredging, and watching the channels down there as they shift and move to be able to bring the ships into port. But right now, we don't see any potential main hazards. We may have a few little hiccups here and there. With the new infrastructure bill that was passed, Lock and Dam 25 got the funding now to be rebuilt into a 1,200-foot lock, which will expedite shipping, which was a big plus for the shippers and the customers. And as the construction there progresses, we may have some hiccups, slowdowns, but nothing major. It'll be pre-planned and assessed, and we'll get to there as quick as we can. But I don't think this year will be a problem.
So then looking ahead to the rest of the year for 2024, what are the trends that you see coming or things that you're watching that maybe are a little different compared to past years?
I have reevaluated some of the trouble spots on the upper and the lower Mississippi where they have dredged historically. There has been issues. Kind of getting my feel and ideology where we might have trouble again. As a professional mariner, it's something that we all try to do. But in the last 2 years of this drought that we've suffered, the Corps has done an outstanding job keeping the river systems open. And they've got the lower Mississippi right now in really good shape. Cairo to St. Louis is in excellent shape. We've got extra water, and we're moving at full capacity right now.
So can you tell me a little bit about what it's like for you? You're out on the barge. What's it like to be a captain? What is a typical day even?
Mine usually starts at 4:30 because I get up about an hour early. I go and watch about 5:30. Then you relieve your partner and you kind of formulate what needs to be done in your mind on the boat. Got a good crew. The mate usually takes care of a lot of the stuff on the boat. You look at orders to see if there's been any order changes overnight and start figuring out our tow work as we transit up and down the river, where barges might drop, where we're going to pick some up, how we're going to arrange tow. Look at river stages to see what river stages are doing. River stages coming up, sometimes they can load a little heavier. That's more profit for the company and a big savings for the shipper. Gets pretty busy just on that end of it. But on a one-on-one end with the crew, I'm one that I took a leadership meeting years ago, and it was in the course was one-on-one evaluating your team members. So I've always taken that to heart, and I always try to communicate with my crew, each one every day, to try to get feedback to see how they're doing, if they're experiencing any fatigue, any mental lag, maybe some worries at home, maybe some troubles at home that they need to talk about or see how they're feeling. We got to make sure we got groceries, the boat's fuel, got water, make sure the office is content with our performance. There's a lot to it outside just sitting down and driving the boat. We run 28 and 28. We ride 28 days on, 28 days off. We do 6-hour watches. 6 hours on, 6 hours off. And if we leave out of St. Louis northbound to St. Paul and back to St. Louis, you're looking at a good solid 2 weeks to transit, a little over 2 weeks to make the turn.
So we mentioned that workforce. How is the workforce looking for the future? Do people know about this job, or are they wanting to be part of this?
Well, that's one of our biggest issues right now, as any industry in the United States, especially our skilled laborers. It's not wide known what we do out there, and I appreciate radio broadcasts like this one that's putting it out there for us. I do a lot of on TikTok to try to educate people about what we do. No, it's not wide known. Our retention rates are horrible. Attracting new people out there is becoming a major issue. You're looking at a workforce now in my age group, and I'm pushing 60. At one point in time, I'm going to decide to retire, and I'm not coming back. So in the next 5 to 8 years, I think we'll see a big percentage of our senior officers retiring. Yes, we are making new pilots. We're making a few engineers. Nothing to fill the gaps that's fixing to come. An experienced deck crew and boatman is becoming fewer and fewer. That's going to be our biggest issue within the next 20 years within the industry.
That was Jimmy Cheatham, barge captain on the Western Rivers. Look for the link to his TikTok page in the article on our website at MidwestFarmReport.com for more informational videos and a firsthand look into how things are going on the Mississippi River. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to our equipment located in Dodgeville. Check out the affordable, efficient, versatile tractor line at our equipment and ask for Mr. Versatile, Chump Gill. Keep up with Pam and the entire team at MidwestFarmReport.com, on Facebook at Fabulous Farm Babe, on Instagram at Fab Farm Babe, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer. Nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
You could be the perfect fit in the world of clinical research. Ready to do your part in helping medicine move forward? Fortrea is recruiting healthy males and females of non-childbearing potential ages 18 to 65. Trial involves one stay of 4 nights plus 3 follow-up visits. Compensation up to $4,430 may be provided for time and participation. Visit FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's F-O-R-T-R-E-A ClinicalTrials.com. Or call 608-210-5454. Now is your chance to earn extra money while contributing to a good cause. Fortrea Clinical Trials is currently seeking healthy males and females of non-childbearing potential ages 18 to 55. You must be available for one stay of 33 nights plus 2 follow-up visits. Compensation of up to $12,634 may be provided for time and participation. Call Fortrea today, 608-210-5454, or find out more at FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's F-O-R-T-R-E-A ClinicalTrials.com.
We survived rusty playgrounds, no helmets, and drinking from the hose. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Ah, the good old days, that is for sure. Welcome back, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, tickled to have you along with us. Stand by. Checking in with Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, for your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update in just a moment. Continuing to keep an eye on some of the finished business that crossed Governor Tony Evers' desk this spring, not the least of which is a little extra funding that came about for our Wisconsin county fairs. I talked about it with Wisconsin Senator Joan Ballweg. She said it was really a heartwarming event to see county fair volunteers from across the state come together in a show of support for the premiums that they pay to the exhibitors.
At the bill signing, we had one of the directors of the Elroy Fair brought their granddaughter along. I mean, this is something that these people, who most of what they're doing is volunteer work, they're just really excited that this is going to give them a little more breathing room and assurance that the folks that are coming to their fair are going to get that, a lot of that premium from the state. So now they can make some of that investment in the fair itself without the responsibility and what they feel is the responsibility to provide premiums and encourage people to come to their fairs.
Wisconsin Senator Joan Ballweg from Markesan. Now, one element that missed and did not get signed by Governor Tony Evers was a bill designed to protect farms from litigious, really, ordinances formed on the local scene. Ballweg explains she thinks that it was basically a misunderstanding.
We have had some local folks that are trying to do local ordinances, get rid of CAFOs or regulate animal husbandry, and it shouldn't be possible under current law, but we were trying to beef that up, so to speak, and the governor said that he objected to removing local control over animal welfare. Well, this just wasn't what the idea was with this. It's that we need to support our agricultural industry.
Wisconsin Senator Joan Ballwig. That's one item that she says they'll probably bring back around next session with maybe clearer language. Same thing goes for a miss when it comes to additional funding support for the Farm and Industry Short Course. Now, remember, this was a pivotal year for that longstanding educational option, moving from the UW-Madison campus to UW-River Falls. Ballwig says despite the lack of financial support on the state scene, it'll move forward.
Right. Well, two things that I would say were swings and misses. We're trying to put some money into the Farm and Industry Short Course. I was quite surprised that we just couldn't get that one over the finish line and help. Now, I do know that River Falls is charging ahead with doing that and hope to bring that back in the next budget.
Again, that's Wisconsin Senator Joan Ballwig. If you want to hear my entire conversation with Joan, you can do that. Just pop on over to MidwestFarmReport.com. You will find it on our podcast list. Well, this morning I'm finding him on the other line, other end of this line for a Friday forecast. Time for our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, along with us. How are you doing this morning? Are you there now? Well, he was there. We'll find out if we can connect with Stu and find out where he is. We'll catch up with him coming your way in just a moment. The mild weather we enjoyed in Wisconsin could add up to big pest problems for our crops this year. Steve Bailey is in Monroe, one of the Helena Agra advisors.
One thing I would challenge guys to think of, and a little bit of a conversation I've been having this last month, is we didn't get a killing frost. And what I mean by that is a lot of these rootworm beetles didn't have that frost to really nip them off. So I would challenge everybody that's listening today, make sure that if you're corn on corn, you're running a traded corn and or maybe a granular insecticide, or if you have in-furrow starter, there's options there too. But I think guys are really going to want to take a very close look to their fields and follow the insect pressure that we're going to have this year.
Rootworms, just one of the insects to keep an eye on, according to Steve Bailey from Monroe, one of the Helena Agra reps. You can find out more and find your local Helena rep at helenaagri.com. All right, let's see if Stu Mock's back along with us for our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Sounds like wind is the issue today, huh, my boy?
The wind is the issue. I forgot how to run equipment being gone for a couple of days. Low pressure's pulled into southeast Canada, and that system's taking rain with it. Rain down near the Quad Cities into central Illinois, pulling away. Some rain in lower Michigan. There may be light rain in far eastern Wisconsin yet this morning, but that's going to end. Sunshine builds in, but it stays windy with that low in southeast Canada, very strong northwest winds. They'll gust up to 25 and 30 yet today and stay gusty into tonight. But then high pressure settles in and our weekend does improve. Sunshine more likely for Saturday and Sunday. Nice temperatures too, upper 60s in the 70s. But Saturday night, if it were winter, I'd call it an Alberta Clipper. A really fast moving little system drops through late Saturday night, early Sunday. A few sprinkles, a little rain may pop up with that system, but that's it. Not going to be long lasting, not going to add up much. It doesn't cool us off, but a little rain then, and otherwise we stay drier and warmer into next week. But I think late Monday, Tuesday, another round of showers, could be thunderstorms, could actually be some measurable rain as we head through Tuesday into early Wednesday. But those temps, still upper 60s and 70s, still very mild right on into next week. No big changes there. Another rain system toward the end of the week, and then it could start cooling off. Could start feeling a little less spring-like, nothing drastic, but just not quite so warm toward the end of the week. So today, I expect sun in the west, a few clouds east, not bad, upper 50s, 60s in the west, the northwest winds gusting near 30. We cleared out overnight, dropped back down toward the upper 30s, the northwest wind still a bit gusty, sunshine on Saturday, upper 60s, with west and south winds, and Sunday, sunny skies in the 70s, mid-70s, with west winds 5 to 10. Those sprinkles Saturday night, Pam, that's about the biggest threat.
All right, Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Remember, Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Find more at compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Celebrate family, home, and the outdoors with Trex decking from Brunzell Lumber and Millwork. Trex composite decking is durable, long-lasting, and there's no finishing, rotting, cracking, or splintering. Plus, it comes in a variety of colors. Relax for a change, because while you're making your house a home, Brunzell and Trex is making your home a work of art.
Brunzell Lumber and Millwork.
Legacy Exteriors. Just pick up the phone and let us leave a legacy on your home. Roofing, windows, gutters, siding, and decks. Can Legacy do it? You bet. Better prices, better warranties. Legacy always makes it easy. Go to legacy-exteriors.com. Legacy Exteriors. Just pick up the phone and let us leave a legacy on your home.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
While you spent a lot more time around your home the last couple of years, you may have noticed a few things you'd like to have spruced up. Sign up for W.E. Davies Handyman membership, and they'll help you stay ahead of the maintenance and repairs with a professional result.
Boycott putting things off. W.E. Davies & Sons Remodeling brings a fresh perspective to your building project. We're a local family business with services from handyman fixes to living space upgrades. For stunning, transformative results, visit wedaviesremodeling.com.
Every time you saw her, she pinched your right cheek. She gave you a peppermint candy and that special wink. You loved Aunt Gladys. But now the boxes of precious moments, stacks of encyclopedias, and heavy outdated furniture is making you crazy.
At Two Men in a Junk Truck, we don't just remove junk. We restore your sanity. Experience the calm after the clutter. Visit twomeninajunktruck.com today for your free estimate.
Keep what you love. Ditch what you don't.
Over four decades of turning customers into loyal friends, and the reason is simple.
Here at Denny's Jewelers, we make jewelry shopping easy, relaxing, and because we have something for everyone.
Hand-selected diamonds and gemstones.
Custom design, appraisals, fashion jewelry, watches, repair, and even jewelry restoration.
Stop by and allow us to turn you into our next true friend.
Have you heard about our Rejuvenation Clinic Body Suite? If not, now is the time to learn more.
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
Non-surgical aesthetic body treatments have progressed greatly in the last 10 years. We are proud to offer the best devices on the market that deliver incredible results. M-Sculpt Neo treats unwanted body fat and builds muscle mass. Cool Sculpting Elite reduces stubborn fat bulges and has multiple applicators to treat many areas of the body. M-Cella is a revolutionary electromagnetic chair that strengthens pelvic floor muscles to treat mild to moderate urinary incontinence. Our providers love to analyze your concerns and come up with the best treatment plan for you, oftentimes even using a combination approach so you get the best results.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
To learn if our Body Suite treatments can help you, call Rejuvenation Clinic of Sauk Prairie.
Strange popping sounds coming from your jaw when you eat? Neck or facial pain? Unexplained headaches or migraines? Grinding your teeth or sleep apnea? These could be caused by TMJ disorder, the dysfunction of the jaw muscles and joints. The TMJ and Sleep Center takes a non-invasive, people-friendly approach to realigning your jaw muscles and joints using neuromuscular measurements and custom treatment plans. No surgery. no daily medications. To learn more or schedule a free consultation, visit tmjpaincenter.com.
Are you in a place where you seem healthy yet lose energy halfway through the day? Your doctor says to rest, but what's really happening?
At Carbon World Health, they look at the root causes, hormone and blood levels, nutrition and hydration, to help you get to a truly healthy place. Boost your energy and embrace your health journey with Carbon World Health, a hormone health and fitness spa.
Madison West and CarbonWorldHealth.com.
And now a break from the Farm Report with Pam Yonke for a sports report.
We were talking Cooper DeJean last time. He had his pro day since we last talked. And my God, he was like flying off the charts. And, you know, Packers got a lot of draft capital, Robbie. I think you did mention the Packers could potentially trade up. Could we see a scenario where the Packers trade up to get someone like a DeJean? I think you said maybe that he'd even be there for the Packers, but that was before his pro day. Or would we see a scenario where, like, the Packers stay pat or they trade down?
That's the crazy fun part of what's coming up here for Brian Gutekunst, right? He has more draft picks than anybody out there. He's got five of the first 91. He's got 11 overall. And Evo, I'll be honest with you, they don't have 11 openings right now on that roster. The last couple of years they did. I mean, he took 23 players total, Evo, in the last two drafts, and he needed them. They were rebuilding the roster. He knew they had all this dead cap money coming with players like Aaron Rodgers, and they had to get rid of his $40.5 million last year. They're in far better cap situation this draft, Evo, and he's restocked the roster because his 2022 and his 2023 drafts were both outstanding, and most of those guys are around. And let's be honest, Evo, when it comes to NFL terms, they're cheap labor. You don't pay draft picks much. You pay guys on their second contract. So the Packers are really in the catbird seat here, Evo, with whatever it is they want to do. And I'll tell you right now, there's three major needs on the roster. There's an offensive lineman. They've got to add depth, Evo. You know, they cut Bakhtiari. They lost Runyon in free agency. They lost Yash Dyson in free agency. They're okay, Evo. They're pretty good, 5-6 deep. They need three more probably coming out of this draft, three guys that are going to make the roster. They need inside linebackers because in this move, Evo, from a 3-4 to a 4-3, their outside linebackers are now defensive ends. They need guys to play with Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie. And they need help in the back, Evo, whether that's a corner or a safety, probably both at some point in time. Can you count on Eric Stokes? That's a tricky question right now. Is Carrington Valentine a guy you want to play 800-900 snaps? Probably not. So you got to get yourself a second corner along the way. And they're in the middle of redesigning or reshaping that safety group. So they're gonna need a rookie in all likelihood, Evo, that comes in and plays. Now, DeJean's got a lot of versatility. He's a guy that's really interesting. Could he be there, Evo, when they pick at 25? It's probably right on the cusp. He's probably between 20 and 28 somewhere, just depending on how teams, you know, who the specific team is and how exactly it is they view him. Green Bay could certainly just hold pat at 25, Evo, but if they get some pretty good intel that he's going to be gone at 20, gone at 22, they've obviously got the firepower, Evo, to jump up and get whoever it is that they want at that spot. I mean, Evo, they've got picks 25, 41, and 58 in round two, and then 88 and 91 in round three. I mean, they are loaded with draft capital, and Gutekunst can move all over the board, whether that's up or down. Now, the point I made earlier, Evo, is they don't have they don't have room for 11 guys right now on this roster. There's just not that many needs on this football team. I would love them personally to go quality over quantity, excuse me, and jump up and get a guy at 15 that they're in love with, get a guy at 17, even get a guy at 12 or something that they're in love with. And Evo, we know how this league works, right? It's your superstars that get you over the hump. You win Super Bowls with absolute rock stars on the roster. Usually it's not depth. Usually my top 10 players need to be better than your top 10 players to go ahead and win Super Bowls. And I think Green Bay is really deep in a lot of spots right now, Evo. But I'm not sure they have quite enough guys that totally tilt the field. And if they could jump up and get one of those guys in this draft, Ebo, that turns into one of those difference-making guys, whether that's a Pro Bowl inside linebacker, whether that's a Pro Bowl left tackle, you know, whether that's a Pro Bowl corner or safety, Ebo, something like that, and Gutekunst jumps up and grabs that player at 15 by giving up picks, let's say, 25 and 41 or even 25 and 58, he's not going to have a lot of picks the rest of this draft, Ebo, to go ahead and do what he wants to do. So it's going to be really wild.
Now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
If you need to know about farming, then you need to know Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Want to know about bison production in Wisconsin? All you have to do is tie a knot and hang around. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke. Welcome back in on a Friday. Okay, as promised, I've got a four-pack of tickets ready for you to attend the 2024 Midwest Horse Fair. The theme this year, horseplay. That big show happens next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Alliant Energy Center grounds in Madison. You can find more details at MidwestHorseFair.com. This four-pack of daily admission passes allows you to take a bunch of your buddies or to maybe spread your visit out over a couple days. Now, the only way that you can pick up the four-pack of tickets to the Midwest Horse Fair is through our talk text line. That means you can either call it or text it. And remember, I need your full mailing address so I can pop these in the mail right away today. Again, the number, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. All right, so today is the 12th day of April. What can I tell you? On this day, back in 1930, the Oshkosh All-Stars capped off their first year as an independent pro basketball team, beating the Chicago Majestic. Some of those players actually got inducted later into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Started back in 1930 in Oshkosh. Did you even know? On this day in 1861, the American Civil War actually started. Bunch of happy birthdays today, starting off with David Letterman, 76 years young today. Actress Claire Danes is 44. Jazz man great Herbie Hancock is 83. And actress Shannon Doherty, still battling cancer, 52 years young. And now you know. A lot of people don't know that in Wisconsin, yes, we raise beef, we raise dairy, but we also raise bison. And it's becoming an increasingly popular animal for a lot of startup operations around the state. Stephanie Hoff has more.
Melissa Winkus is the second generation on her family bison farm in Seymour, raising over 100 head. She's also a new board member with the Wisconsin Bison Producers Association. They actively promote and preserve the American bison in Wisconsin. Maybe you've had a bison burger from the association's famous food truck. Melissa says you can also check out your local bison producer for even more cuts and products.
You got the patties, the roast, the steaks, the summer sausage, right down to the jerky and everything. And depending upon the time of the year, depends on the most popular product that is sold. In the summertime, steaks are very popular. In the wintertime, roasts are very popular.
What would surprise people about bison? Like, maybe our listeners are familiar with working cattle. Compare the two for us.
So bison is not a very hands-on animal. The calves only come out roughly about 35 pounds, actually. So the calving ease is very much different than dairy cows, where they are about 100 pounds coming out. So we do not have to worry about the calving ease of them being or having to help out with the calving. So that is definitely different. And they're just kind of built for the outdoors. They don't really go in a barn at all. And we have one area that there's a barn available to them, and they'd rather prefer the outside. They're just built for being outdoors. And in the wintertime, we kind of enjoy seeing the snow on their back. When they do, it's because they're so well insulated that the snow does not melt off of them. So that's kind of neat seeing outside in the wintertime. In the summer, the heat doesn't bother them either. They are, like, their body is just ready for any weather thrown at them. The only time we'd really notice that bothers them is that 2 weeks in the spring or so, when it's just sloppy, wet, cold, which bothers people too. So I don't blame them whatsoever for being ornery during that time.
And Melissa, you're also a member of the Wisconsin Bison Producers Association. Tell me about the association and your role in it.
So I just got voted on this year, actually, to be on the board. We have worked on really sending out the positive message of bison farms and producing and raising in bison in a positive message across the state. There's actually roughly about 50 different producers throughout the state that not too many people are aware that there's that many. A lot of them sell the meat right on the farms. Some do farmers markets and such. Another thing that Wisconsin bison producers have really gone to this year was going towards a lot of the vet students to be sponsored to go to some of the local farms when they do round up with their animals, and then they can see more hands-on that way. We just launched a new website, wisconsinbison.com, and there you can see a lot of the producers are right on there and a link to their websites, or just in general, you can learn a lot more about the bison industry just on our website now that is new and improved.
Tell me about the demographics of bison producers. Are there younger people coming in? Is it an older generation?
A lot of times it is the farm is getting out of the beef or dairy industry and looking to raise something else. Some farms are going from the ground up and putting the fences up because they need a little more sturdy fence for a bison to keep in versus a dairy cow that you can walk right up to and they're good with, you know, two lines of fence. Otherwise, some of them is because they already have the pastures already established and they just want to have something different to have around the farm.
What's sparking you to stay in the industry?
I like the uniqueness of the bison. The bison in general are a very unique animal to watch, and they are just absolutely beautiful to see out in the pasture grazing. We also do feed corn silage and finish off the animals that way too before butchering. But why I would stay in it is just the uniqueness and the culture I kind of grew up in, and I like that part of it.
Melissa Winkus joining us. She's been around bison her whole life on the family farm in Seymour. Now she's taken on a leadership role with the Wisconsin Bison Producers Association. She's looking forward to getting the word out about the value bison can bring to a farm that's looking to switch things up or to people looking to get started in agriculture. Melissa says their new website, wisconsinbison.com, is a great resource to find bison near you. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
The April World Ag Supply Demand Report that was released yesterday by USDA wasn't as bullish as the market had hoped for. It predicts lower corn and higher soybean ending stocks. So the price that they're coming up with right now, the season average for corn, is $4.70 a bushel. That's down 5 cents. The soybean outlook, a little bit brighter. Season average soybean price forecast at $12.55 a bushel, but that's down 10 cents from the previous. Markets are reacting again this morning in Chicago. We've got December corn down a penny and a half right now at 4.64. November soybeans on a Friday morning down a penny and a half, 11.62. July wheat, that's up a half at 5.66 and three quarters. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese finished another penny and a quarter lower, 1.54 and three quarters. 40-pound block cheese was down 6 at 1.51. The AA butter dropped 3 3/4 cents to 2.89 and a quarter per pound. This morning in Chicago, the Class 3 fluid milk, which goes into cheese for May, is up 11 cents, 16.13 a hundredweight. The June contract, that's up 9 right now at 16.62 a hundredweight. Again, don't forget, I've got some Midwest Horse Fair tickets I'm giving away this morning for my Talk Text prize. That's a 4-pack to the Midwest Horse Fair coming up next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Alliant Energy Center grounds. Send me your full mailing address at our Talk Text line. That's 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Good luck to win those Midwest Horse Fair tickets this morning. Coming up next, chatting with the folks from AARP of Wisconsin. There are a lot of folks in Wisconsin still struggling to find high-speed broadband. Where does that conversation stand? What can you do to help it along? Stick around. That's on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Yeah. So I became a Farm Bureau member almost 20 years ago to be part of the state's largest ag advocacy group. Plenty of opportunities within Farm Bureau for somebody that's involved in agriculture, whether to grow their leadership or to help be a leader in an industry that we have a great passion for.
WFBF.com.
They've really helped my leadership develop.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
A good friend might tell you that your shoe's untied, or hey, you've got a bit of breakfast on the corner of your mouth. Well, a good friend will also share valuable insights about the scoop on money and energy savings. Like Benjamin Plumbing and their game-changing electric hybrid water heaters. Potential savings of up to 3 to 4 times a conventional water heater with current tax incentives up to $2,000. Benjamin Plumbing's electric hybrid water heaters go beyond being just a water heater. It acts as a dehumidifier for your basement, kicking musty odors, mold, and excess moisture to the curb. Eco-friendly and efficient, these electric hybrid water heaters will leave your wallet and our environment completely satisfied.
Hi, Dale Benjamin with Benjamin Plumbing. When we say your plumbing problem is fixed, we mean it. No excuses. I guarantee it. Contact Benjamin Plumbing at BenjaminPlumbing.com.
Now you've got a friend in the plumbing business.
Benjamin Plumbing.
You know, Will, a lot of people say we sound alike.
I'd have to agree with them, Dad.
Well, the two of you may sound alike, but you sure don't look alike.
And your roof doesn't have to look like everyone else's. Allow Sweetel Metal Roofing to transform yours.
See what one will look like on your home.
I'm Mike.
Will.
And Mary Sweeta. Enjoy the long-lasting architectural strength and beauty of a Sweetel Metal Roof.
S-W-I-T-A, metalroofing.com.
Sweetel Metal Roofing, the last roof you'll ever need.
Sure, she'll stop farming when pigs fly. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
And a lot of things could be flying on this Friday. I'm thinking about all my milk truck drivers, our feed truck delivery folks, folks that are driving those semis. If you see a black Suburban with all kinds of farm print on the side, let me draft you for a little bit, won't you? I'm heading up to Green Bay later today. Yeah, it is going to stay windy, so please be careful out there if you're on the road or if there's stuff flying around in your yard. Today, as we wrap up our week, we want to visit with our friends from AARP of Wisconsin. Pleased to visit with Leslie Spencer Herrera. She is the volunteer state president of AARP of Wisconsin. And Leslie, I want to start right there. Tell me a little bit about how you became the volunteer state president.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was saying about the privilege of serving in this position, I was asked to serve through the Public Service Commission on the Wisconsin Digital Equity and Inclusion Stakeholder Group. And, you know, a lot of folks there represent organizations that are out and, you know, throughout Wisconsin. And I know that just from traveling around Wisconsin. There are whole areas that are just dark. I mean, I was just amazed, you know, when we're going up north for vacations and like, what? I can't get my internet, you know. And for people living there, I just, it's like utilities, right? I mean, you don't question running water now or being able to turn on a light bulb. And internet's become that way in high speed. I mean, it's not just enough to, in like the old days, of some little dial-up thing. I mean, you need to access those videos, that information. You know, if you want telemedicine, you need to have really rapid internet. So we can't have a world where some have it and some don't, you know?
You know, this must be interesting for you to have that conversation with people that really have a blind spot. They want to execute programs. They want to roll out opportunities. They have all this in their role, and then they say, well, and we're going to drive it all through the internet. They've got that blind spot to true access. If you want to serve those people, you mentioned healthcare. That is an excellent example, especially given the current situation in Wisconsin.
Oh, correct. I mean, you know, sometimes you hear that as the response. Well, we may not have a clinic there, but they can get on with the doctor through telehealth or, you know, nurse practitioner. Well, you need really decent connectivity for that. And two, you know, the security protocols, everything are driven through access. You know, I mean, you don't want your healthcare information just being transmitted on some network that you don't know how secure it is or whatever, you know? I mean, you need the standards of being a first world country.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned, Leslie, that as the volunteer president, you are able to be forward-facing with the Public Service Commission. How is AARP trying to stay engaged in this conversation? Because it's not just about Wisconsin. It's about the United States as a group.
Well, that's certainly part of it. I mean, and part of AARP is we are a national organization. So, for example, Wisconsin's part of a regional grouping that includes places who are actually also fighting, you know, broadband, like South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Nebraska, Kansas. And they've found, you know, different solutions to go at funding. The main thing is elected representatives need to understand this is a high priority and a need. So I guess that's one reason I'm on this phone call today, because I want to remind folks you do have a voice. And whenever you meet a representative, elected official, say, gosh, we need you to find a way. You know, their excuses, particularly for rural, is all that last mile is so expensive, you know, to get to people's homes. Well, figure out a way to do that. And, you know, their technology's changing. You know, keep your minds open and give us affordable access. It's not just enough to have access, but if it's costing you $150 a month, you know, that's a lot of money for folks.
Yeah, actually, very true. Now, again, if you're just joining us, this is Leslie Spencer Herrera. She is the volunteer state president for AARP of Wisconsin, also a member of the Public Service Commission. And the focus today on our conversation is high-speed internet access for everybody, regardless of where you are. Let's talk about that affordable connectivity program, Leslie. Many folks may not have heard about it, but it is one that tries to address the expense of that last mile, for example.
Right, and even, you know, and certainly affordability came out of, like many things did, out of COVID. The federal government passed this, technically it's called the Affordable Connectivity Program, but like many of the COVID programs, it's run down. I mean, the money's gotten spent. You can no longer enroll in it. And the folks who are enrolled, and some of you may even be enrolled and not know it, because some people were automatically, if you fit certain criteria in terms of your family income, were enrolled without even knowing. So if you're paying $35 a month for connectivity, you probably are in it, and it's going to go away. And, you know, we all know what's happening in D.C., but that's, again, a conversation to have with your state, you know, your representative, your senator, saying, please, please, there is a bill before Congress saying, let's have more money for this, for the folks who, you know, cannot afford it. I know my mom, for example, I mean, who passed away last year, but I could never talk her to get on the internet because she just lived on basic Social Security, and she said, you know, I can't even think of paying for that, you know, and she wouldn't let me pay for it, you know, out of pride, but it's something I know a lot of people deal with. That so we've got to let people know, just like making electricity affordable, more affordable, water, you know, have to make some provision for that.
Right, right, yeah. And the best way, one of the best ways, folks, to find out more, maybe educate yourself about the affordable connectivity issue bill and what you can do is by going to the AARP website, and it's just that simple, aarp.org. If you just put in the search connectivity, and you'll probably pop up with a couple different articles about that. And that's another thing, Leslie, we're talking to people about the lack of internet, and yet I'm taking them to aarp.org. How do you suggest for those folks that literally are the targets of this conversation and lacking connectivity, what are their options? How can they stay engaged in the conversation?
Well, I would just reach out to find your phone number for your elected official and say, I need this and I don't even know what I can access, number one. Number two, your libraries. You know, folks must run into town sometimes. And libraries are now probably some of the best connected places around. Mm-hmm. And your librarians are trained to show you and get you to things. I've seen, you know, things where libraries now are becoming hubs for giving people access mm-hmm. to high-speed internet.
Glad to have you. Leslie Spencer Herrera joining us today for AARP of Wisconsin. She is their volunteer state president, forward-facing with the Public Service Commission as they continue to work diligently to try to get high-speed internet access to everybody in the state of Wisconsin, regardless of where they live. Brought to you courtesy of AARP of Wisconsin. Find out more online today, aarp.org.